Welcome to this episode of the SharePoint Sideshow. I'm Donovan Follett, and I'm here with Chris Mayo. Chris is the technical evangelist for Office 365. So tell us about Office 365. We have the service of BPOS today, right. And how does that differ from Office 365?
Well, the big things that are coming with Office 365 are updates to all the services, and those updates are going to be based on the 2010 versions of the server. So if you think about SharePoint Online, Exchange Online, and Link Online, the services today are based on the past generation of the on-premise servers. So okay. SharePoint Online in BPOS is based on SharePoint 2007. Now, when Office 365 comes out, the service is going to be based on the 2010 servers. So if you think about all the features and all the platform capabilities of SharePoint 2010, Exchange 2010, and Link Server 2010, they're now going to be offered as software as a service with the release of Office 365.
Okay, so if I participate in this new service, Office 365, is there some kind of a license agreement that I get with that? You know, I want to make sure that my services are up a certain amount of time.
Right. So, yeah, so Office 365 is software as a service. So you pay per user per month, and rather than you setting up servers and installing the OS and installing the software and all that stuff, the service provides you all of that in a very reliable and very secure way. So as far as reliability is concerned, there's a 99.9% uptime.
Okay.
That's built into the SLA, so you know it's going to be reliable. As far as security, we've gone through the process of getting the right ISO certifications and SAS certifications, so you know it's going to be secure.
Okay.
And again, rather than you setting up hardware and software and configuration and stuff like that, you know, the service provides all that to you via the Microsoft Data Center or the cloud that we host Office 365 in. So you just, you know, pretty much set up users, configure the services for your needs, and then start using the productivity, the software.
Okay. Now, what about the Office clients? Is there an opportunity to get the Office clients as well
on
a subscription basis?
So that's another great thing about the new service is that we're going to be offering Office 2010 Professional Plus as one of the options with Office 365. So it's the same Office that you know and love today, except for, you know, rather than installing it, you know, by putting a CD or a DVD into your machine and installing it that way, you actually install it from the portal. It'll install from the portal. It installs a couple of different tools to help with connectivity to the back-end services.
Okay.
And then all the updates and stuff like that is taken care of as part of your subscription. So rather than buying a box product and installing it, it installs from the service, and all the updates and new features and stuff like that come as part of the service. So you pay per user per month for that as well.
Okay, that's great. And as an administrator, I'm able to control who I want to have that subscription and who I would not want to have that subscription?
Yeah, as an administrator, you know, you set up users, you can do some different things as far as working with users and configuring the services and stuff like that. And you can determine who has what license and who has what capabilities based on their needs, which is another great thing about the service.
Sure. Okay, so with software as a service, sometimes you might think that, well, maybe we can't customize that. But from a developer's perspective, how would we go about and do that? What are our options and capabilities there?
Yeah, so that's another great thing about the service is the fact that since it's based on the 2010 versions of the on-prem servers, you get that same or a very similar platform story when you talk about the service. And the other thing that's really great about it is the fact that I, as like, for example, a SharePoint developer, you know, I have my language of choice as far as, you know, C# or VB.
Sure.
I use Visual Studio 2010. I use the SharePoint SDKs and APIs. Well, all of that applies to doing cloud development with SharePoint Online. There are some differences as far as what features are supported or what platform features are supported, but a lot of my skills and the things that I already know just apply directly to the cloud.
That's really great. That makes you know, me as a developer able to just simply leverage my skills right directly forward to
exactly to
the cloud.
Yeah.
Okay, well, do you want to go ahead and show us some of this? Give us a demo of Office 365, how we might get set up, and then also some of the developer capabilities.
Absolutely. So here you can see I'm at office365.com, and this is the landing page for Office 365. We just went into public beta, so the first thing you're going to want to do is, you know, go to this site and read about the service descriptions, what's available, how is it different from maybe the on-premise server and stuff like that. And then you want to go ahead and just click on the beta link and click this button here to join the beta. So once you have beta access, you're going to get an invitation to the service to join and to sign up. And I'll go ahead and sign into the tenancy that I've gotten in the beta.
So this is really cool. Everybody can just go out and just do a practice run at this and see what it looks like and figure out what Office 365 is. This is great.
Exactly. So here's my beta tenancy. And you can see here, this is the admin console, and I can go through here and do some work as far as setting up users. I can do things like set up Active Directory synchronization, so I can synchronize the users that are in AD up into the cloud and then just apply licenses to them.
Okay.
I can set up single sign-on, so I can federate with my AD deployment. So if my users sign into their Windows box and I'm federating with Office 365, they're automatically signed into the service. So another IT Pro setup or configuration you can do as an admin. And you can see here I have a bunch of users that I've already set up. Like here's Steve Fox. And if you look at the service, again, you pay per user per month as a service.
Okay.
So what you can do is, you know, you can do the directory synchronization with AD, maybe do some federation if you want to provide single sign-on. And then for each individual user, I'll want to apply a license to them. So this is an enterprise version of the beta, so I can give them a license, like this E3 license that includes Office Professional Plus, Office Web Apps, Link Online, SharePoint Online, and Exchange Online. If the user is just somebody that maybe checks email once or twice a day and just needs to check up on, you know, news and updates on a SharePoint site, you can also give them a kiosk plan version, which is a much lower cost version of Office 365 for like casual computer users, like someone that works on the manufacturing floors, isn't like a heads down information worker and so on. So it's different licenses according to different needs of different users.
Yes.
And again, you just pay per user per month. So, you know, you can upgrade people or remove licenses or add licenses freely. So, and then setting up a user, you know, you can assign them a role, whether they're going to be an administrator or not.
Okay.
I've set Steve up to be an administrator, and there's different administrator types like, you know, billing, global administrator that can change anything, service administrator that just works on a service, and so on. You can determine their sign-in status, either allowing or blocking them, so it's really easy to turn users off. And then, you know, once I've got my users set up, I've done the directory synchronization, I'm federating with ADFS, and I've given them licenses and stuff like that, I can start setting up the individual services according to the needs of my users. So I'll go back to the admin overview page.
I just want to make it clear that ADFS is optional.
Yep.
And enterprises may use that, but maybe smaller businesses wouldn't have an ADFS.
Right.
A federation server and an Active Directory, but they can still manage their users, you know, in the portal itself.
Yeah, the only difference for small business is that I'm going to, when I go to sign into like SharePoint Online or whatever, I'm going to get a screen that looks really similar to Live ID, and I'm going to sign in there and then, you know, use the service.
Yep.
Single sign-on with federation is optional for the enterprise version of Office 365, but it's not required.
Okay, great.
So here you can see I'm in the admin screen. For Office 365, I can manage Exchange, Link Online, SharePoint Online. Let's go ahead and go in here. And you can see I have a couple of different options here. And this is really different from Central Administration, if you think about it, because Central Administration in SharePoint 2010, you know, I'm working with the farm, I'm setting up web applications and stuff like that.
Right.
All that's provided to me by the Office 365 service, by SharePoint Online. So here, I'm just managing site collections. So I'll go ahead and you can see all the different site collections that I have, right? Like here's the one that we're going to be using for the demos today.
Okay.
And I can do things like set up, you know, a disk space quota. I can set up how many resources are allocated to this site as far as sandbox solution resource and consumption, set up admins and so on. I'll just right click here and open up this site. And you can see here, here's the site that we're going to be using for the next couple of demos. And it looks really, really similar to SharePoint 2010 because it's based on SharePoint 2010. It just happens to be, you know, hosted in the Microsoft data center as a service rather than, you know, being an on-prem server.
Which is really nice. If you may already have an on-prem deployment, this is not something that's going to, you know, if you're going to a hybrid model and doing a little bit of SharePoint Online as well, your users don't have a new learning experience.
Exactly, exactly. And in fact, let's talk about some of the platform capabilities. We had talked about showing some of the different things that you can do as far as a platform. Well, there's a couple of things that are you might be familiar with as a SharePoint developer. Sandbox solutions are the development paradigm for SharePoint Online, and the reason for that is obviously in a multi-tenant shared cloud environment, you can't have farm solutions that are specific to a particular tenancy. It's a shared environment, so you can't change. You can't put files up on the file or up on the web servers. You can't change the front end server, web.config, and stuff like that.
Sure.
So sandbox solutions give you a great way to build solutions, upload them directly to your site collection, and start using them as a user or site collection administrator. There's also the client object model, which you're familiar with on SharePoint 2010 for Silverlight. That also applies, again, deployed as a sandbox solution. And then there's also the capability of doing workflows, declarative workflows with SharePoint Designer and modifying or extending those with sandbox solutions again. So a lot of familiarity in what you're doing today with SharePoint 2010. So we can go ahead and look at a solution for that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do that to see how we can customize the site and add our own goodness.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm going to do here is I've got a couple of sites set up, and I'm just going to kind of go through and show the end result of what you can build. And at the end, we have some resources on an Office 365 developer training course where you can actually download these same samples, build them out yourself, and see how they work and stuff and on the inside, right?
Yeah, cool.
So what I'm going to do here is let's say that I've got a solution that when employees of a company, they want to buy something that's like a non-standard business purchase. It doesn't go through the normal procurement system. And they want to buy something that kind of falls outside of that system. I'm going to create a list for them to actually make enter those non-standard business purchase requests.
Okay.
I'm going to give them a Silverlight front end so they can enter them just to show the client object model. And then I'm going to apply a workflow to that so people can, like managers, can approve those requests. And I'm going to do all of that in SharePoint Online. I'm going to do it all with Sandbox Solutions just to kind of show you how much of what you know today applies to the cloud.
Great. Let's do it.
So the first thing that I want to do is I want to upload a solution that's going to deploy my list. So in SharePoint Online, Sandbox Solution is the solution type that's supported. So I'll go to the Solutions Gallery, and I'll click on this tab, and I'm just going to upload a WSP that's going to deploy my list.
And a WSP, for those that may not know?
Yeah, is a SharePoint package file. It actually packages up all of the solution into a single file that you can deploy to the Solution Gallery.
Super.
So here's my purchasing manager solution list. So I'm going to go ahead and just upload this up into the cloud, up into SharePoint Online, and then go to the individual subsite where I want to use it and activate the list feature. So I'll go Site Settings, Manage Site Features. I'll scroll down until I see the purchasing manager content types and lists. So a lot of folks are familiar with Sandbox Solutions and like doing web parts and things like that in Sandbox Solutions, but you can actually do quite a bit with it. You can deploy lists, you can deploy web parts, of course, you can deploy custom actions for workflows and so on. So you can see here that just by deploying a Sandbox Solution with some element files in here, I've defined a list for my non-standard business purchase. So I can give it a title, a description, and set the price.
Okay.
Right? And I could, of course, just go ahead and just add a new item to this list, but let's go ahead and use the client object model in Silverlight to provide a web part for people to do that.
Okay. Yeah.
So I'll go back to the top level site. I'll say site actions, site settings, solutions. And the client object model provides you JavaScript, Silverlight, and .NET code access to SharePoint. Right? So I've got a web part that's built with Silverlight 4. And it's actually deployed via Sandbox Solution. So I'm just going to go ahead and upload that. Again, I'll go Solutions, Upload Solution, Browse. And again, you can build any of these with the training course that we're going to provide at the end of this particular recording. So there's my Purchasing Manager web parts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go ahead and activate that guy. And again, now this code is running up in the cloud with SharePoint Online. So let me just go ahead and edit the page. We'll insert that web part, and then we'll insert an item into the list. Okay, so I'll go down to the Purchasing Manager solution. There's my non-standard business purchase web part.
Okay.
There we go, and let's save the page. Now, I know this isn't the flashiest UI in the world, but it proves a point. This is Silverlight. that's running here in my web part, and I can give a title. Let's say that, you know, we're going to TechEd here pretty soon.
Right.
So let's say that I wanted to attend TechEd US 2011 down in Atlanta. And the description is it's a, you know, technical conference. Devs and IT pros, and the price, let's say $2,000, is going to cover all my expenses and stuff like that.
Okay.
So I click the add button, and this is actually using client object model to insert an item into the list. If we go over to the list and look at it, you can see there's the item that I just entered.
Yes, very cool.
Okay. And I did all that through Silverlight, so you can create some really interesting, you know, rich internet applications for SharePoint using a client object model. Same client object model you use for SharePoint 2010 today.
Right.
Okay. So that's great, but now I want to start that approval process. You can see here there's no workflows provided. So what I've actually done is I've gone through and built out a workflow that starts an approval process, assigns a task to the approvers group so they can say whether I want to approve or reject that particular item. If it's approved, I'm going to go ahead and send an email to the person that entered it, and I'm actually going to create a site for them to fill out, you know, some documentation that I need them to fill out. Like if it's a conference, maybe a trip report with some notes and things, or something along those lines.
Right.
And the reason why...
Let that manager have their say.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why I wanted to show that particular example is... that creating a site isn't a built-in action for declarative workflow, so I actually built that with a sandbox solution. So let me show you an example of that. So here's what I need to do. I'm going to go back to the top-level site. And again, I'm just going to add a couple of sandbox solutions to this that I've created. So I'll go site actions, site settings, back to the solution gallery. I'm going to upload two sandbox solutions. One is going to be some custom actions, some custom workflow actions that I've created that I've that you can use within SharePoint Designer when you're building out your workflow. And that's the custom action that builds that site out for me. And then the other one's the actual workflow itself that I created on-premise with SharePoint Designer that I later uploaded in order to provide the solution. So let's go ahead and do that. I'll say upload solution. I'll just browse to it here. Okay, so here's my custom actions. And again, this is a sandbox solution that creates custom actions that I can leverage within SharePoint Designer when I build a workflow. And then the next one that I'm going to upload is the actual workflow itself. And again, I did all of my development locally so I could do things like F5 debugging and stuff like that. Make sure it's right, then export it so I can take it up to SharePoint Online.
So you have a local instance of SharePoint 2010 in your development environment where you build sandbox solutions, do your deployment, and then package up the WSP, and then you upload it here into the solution gallery.
Yeah, just like you do today where you've got the F5 experience locally, and then when you're ready, you take the end solution and apply it to maybe a staging environment and then later to a production environment.
Right.
Same thing with SharePoint Online. Do the work locally, but then when you go to staging, you go to production, it's up in the cloud,
right?
Like a separate staging environment or staging site collection you can test on, and then finally the production site.
Yep.
Okay. So those are my workflows. So let me go over to site settings on the individual site, and I'm just going to turn on that workflow as a feature. So I activate that, and then let's apply it to the list.
Okay.
Okay, so here's my list, and you can see here that there's no workflows that are active,
right?
So I'll go over to workflow settings, and I'm just going to apply that workflow that I created to the content type that the list is based on.
Right.
And you can do this programmatically, but just to keep things simple, I'm just going to do it right quick manually.
Well, it's nice to see the process.
Sure. Okay. And I'll click OK or Next, and then I'll click Save. Let's go ahead and start using this workflow. So now when I select the list item, you can see that there's a workflow that I can apply, the non-standard business purchase request approval workflow.
Okay.
So I'll start this workflow, and it's going to collect some information from me. So I'm just going to say, you know, the business rationale is I'd like to learn about SharePoint Online. Click Start. It's going to take a second to start for the first time just because it, you know, we just uploaded the solution.
It
has to, you know, kind of rehydrate and wake up JIT compile and all that stuff. So it'll take a second to start.
But what's really nice about this is that, again, you've built it all in Visual Studio,
yeah.
Your familiar environment. You've pushed everything out locally to make sure your F5 experience works, and now you're up in this environment.
So. Yeah. So it's really great that I'm using the same tools and skills and SDKs that I'm used to today. Okay, so there's my item. You can see that the non-standard business purchase request approval workflow is in progress. Let's go ahead and take a look at that. And I actually went through the step of building out the workflow in a Visio diagram first, which is a great way to kind of design it or to create a diagram that you can use to communicate back to stakeholders what the workflow is going to do. But you can see here that I'm going to, you know, enter a non-standard business purchase request. This starts the approval process. I'm going to log some item to the list. And whether it's approved or rejected, if it's approved, I'm going to start this custom action. Again, this is a sandbox solution I created to create a site. It's kind of nice that it shows up in the diagram as well. And then I'm going to send an email. If the item's rejected, I'm going to send an email to let the user know it was rejected, and then I'm going to delete the item from the list.
Okay.
So let's go ahead. I'm actually an approver, so I can approve my own purchase request, which is comes in handy.
Yeah,
it's really convenient. So I'll just put a comment here. Please fill out a trip report in the purchase site. Okay, and I'll say approve. Now it's going to take a second to actually go through an update. And you can see here, here's the little progress icon that's telling me that it's still creating the site. So let's go ahead and refresh this. And again, it takes a while to do the first time just because it's got to get everything set up and cached. And there you go. So you can see the path. I logged the item to the list. It was approved. So I completed my custom action and sent the email. Now if we go up to view all site content, there's my trip report site.
Excellent.
And that was created via that custom action. Again, it's not built into declarative workflows by default, but since I can create custom actions in Sandbox Solutions with Visual Studio 2010, I can extend declarative workflows to do different actions. As long as I can do it in the sandbox, I can do it with SharePoint Online.
Very, very cool. So how do I know how to do this? How can I learn how to do this, I should say?
Exactly. Well, what we've got is a couple of resources here that will help you get started.
Okay.
So the first is go to office365.com and sign up for the beta. Get access to the beta. Give us feedback. Start using the service. Just so you can kind of get familiar with what it is, how it's different from SharePoint Online or Exchange Online, different from Exchange and so on.
Okay.
Get used to the service. The second thing is there's an MSDN article called Cloud-Based Collaboration with SharePoint Online up on MSDN. Check that out. Gives you a great overview of what you can do with SharePoint Online development.
Okay.
Next, and this is the big one, the Office 365 Developer Training Course. This is videos, hands-on labs, a downloadable training kit that you can access. So once you get access to the beta, you can start watching these videos, start doing the labs like the things that I did in the demos
that's
here today.
Excellent.
So you can really get your hands dirty as far as creating cloud-based solutions for SharePoint, Exchange, and for Link.
Excellent.
And then if you want to learn more, get deeper, the SharePoint Online Developer Center is a great place to go.
Okay, excellent. Thank you, Chris, for joining us
today. Thanks, Donovan.
And thank you all for joining us for this session of the SharePoint Sideshow.